Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to retire in Ithaca, New York? Yes, I said Ithaca, New York. We're going to find out today with our guest, Kurt Becker. And meet Kurt Becker, a seasoned public health professional with a rich journey of dedication and impact, originally from Ithaca, New York. Kurt earned dual degrees in broadcasting and developmental psychology from Tompkins Cortland Community College. After moving to Las Cruces, New Mexico, we just did a podcast on that one.
Yeah, I saw that.
He finished courses at New Mexico State University and graduated from SUNY Cortland in 1994 with a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology. Kurt's commitment to community health began in Las Cruces, where he served as a health educator for families and youth. Notably, he initiated an LGBTQ and youth group, the Next Rainbow Generation, orchestrating remarkable initiatives such as raising funds to showcase the largest ever NAMES Project AIDS Memorial Quilt in southern New Mexico, spanning over 15,000 square feet. My goodness. Wow.
Yeah, that was a project.
Wow. Additionally, Kurt in his youth pioneered Not Your Mom's Prom, one of the area's first alternative proms. In 1999, Kurt's journey led him to Austin, Texas, where he assumed the role of city's coordinator for Ryan White Funds, overseeing the distribution of over $4 million annually. In 2006, he became the immunization manager for the city of Austin and Travis County, successfully securing a $12 million grant to provide easy and free access to vaccines for at-risk adults. Wow, that's a big job. In 2021, Kurt retired from the city of Austin and returned to his roots in Ithaca, New York, with his husband of 15 years, Jose.
And we just celebrated our anniversary. I have to give that plug in there.
Happy anniversary to you and Jose. Nestled on 1.5 green acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. They share their home with their two dogs, Molly and Heidi. Yeah. Welcome, Kurt. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for coming. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And Kurt, tell the audience, give us a little back. I told a little story. Tell us your story. You said you moved from Austin, first Las Cruces to Austin, and then Austin back home to Ithaca.
Yeah, that's quite a route. Yeah. I started in going to school in Ithaca, which I think folks here never thought I would leave Ithaca. I was a homebody. I really loved this place. But I think when you're in your 20s or late 20s, you always think the place you live may not have all the opportunities that you want. And so I set sail with my first partner out to Las Cruces. And as you mentioned, I finished school at New Mexico State University. And got my first job as a health educator, really focused in on HIV and AIDS prevention and STD prevention. But then that blossomed into a broader health education initiative. And we had money from the New Mexico Department of Health, and we started a youth group. And when we did the prom that you mentioned, Not Your Mom's Prom, I'm really in favor of not inventing new ideas. And so I stole that idea from Ithaca.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
We had a Not Your Mom's Prom in Ithaca in, I think, 92. And it was so fun. And it was such a great outlet for people that didn't get to go to their high school prom. And I thought we could do that in Las Cruces. There was no gay bar. I don't think there is still in Las Cruces. And so we just made a space, and the community was really open to it and welcoming, and it just blossomed. And kids just came out from all the local high schools to help out. And it was a beautiful, it's weird because I still think of them as kids, but they're turning 40.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
I know. To me, they're kids too.
But that's the way it is. I'm honored that I get to speak to them all still. They're spread out all over doing great things. And what a great experience that was. And then I moved to Austin with a different partner. I'm just floating on the wings of my exes. Moved to Austin. That was a difficult, difficult job and a very difficult move because I went from a very fun but meaningful work to a very serious work with the mayor's office in the city of Austin and making sure we were spending Ryan White dollars properly. I did that for 6 years, learned a great deal, and then moved over to immunizations, which I have to say, after working in HIV/AIDS, I thought that would probably be the most politically sensitive area I would ever work in, and immunizations would be boring. And it turned out to be quite the opposite. People were very sensitive, and it's become a bit of a third rail now in our world, vaccinations.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it has. So, and I did that for 16 or 17 years and then retired just about 2 years ago.
Wow.
I stayed a little longer through this last, through the COVID response. But yeah, I think I retired in March 2 years ago. So yeah.
So you
that's
said
my journey.
You said Texas Austin wasn't the place to retire, right? And you
I think it is for some folks, and I wanted to say this is all so very personal for folks, isn't it?
Sure.
It's just you have to really weigh your own wants and make your own list of things that you want to, where you want to feel safe and feel happy. And it's really different for everybody.
It is.
Austin is a great place, but I was terribly homesick, and I had been homesick for decades. And people were so tired of me talking about
Ithaca.
Ithaca is gorgeous, and Cortland apples and Purity ice cream. So they were just
enough already. Enough. Shoo.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So you made the journey and you're back in Ithaca. So now you're home, you're happy. You're in a LGBTQ friendly place. So tell us, let's start off with geographics. Where is Ithaca for the audience that have never heard of Ithaca, New York? Where is it located within New York State?
It's centrally isolated, as we like to say, in the Finger Lakes. It's at the south end of Cayuga Lake. And then there's, I should know this, probably a dozen Finger Lakes in upstate New York. And it's an absolutely beautiful place. It should be on everybody's bucket list to come up here. But we're a little north of Binghamton. We're probably 60 to 70 miles south of Syracuse. So there's no interstate running through Ithaca. The nearest major interstate is Route 81 that runs through Cortland.
Right.
And so we're kind of, it's a small college town. I think it surprises a lot of people that even though it is rural, it's very progressive because of Ithaca College, of course, and because of Cornell. So those two, a lot of folks like to say they're from a college town, but truly when the students leave Ithaca in the summer, the city shrinks by half.
I bet.
So, yeah, but it's beautiful.
But it's absolutely beautiful. Pleasant. Yeah.
It really is. It's absolutely lovely.
So tell us about the climate. tell us about how the summers are, what the averages are, the winters.
Well,
hot and humid, or
what a weird year we're having.
Yes.
Yesterday and the last few days, it was 60 and sunny in February in upstate New York. And that is just unheard of. But it's really hard to complain about it because it's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
But typically, this has been a light winter. The last two or three winters have been not as cold, not as brutal, except for they did have a really terrible storm in Buffalo, you may remember, last year. But other than that, it's been a pretty mild winter. I don't think that's typical, but it may be typical as we go forward. I did just see in the news that they've changed the topographical, the climate maps. So we're in a warmer zone now than we used to be.
Wow.
And that's happening, I think, everywhere. So who knows? The climate in Austin was 105, well over 100 for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're in
Phoenix.
Tucson.
Phoenix.
You're in Phoenix.
Yep.
And so.
Yeah, we get 110. I think we had over 100 days of 110 and over this past summer. And it goes up to 120, which is hot.
Bless your heart. I can't do it. You know, I get out in that sun and it's brutal. And so, you know, you weigh things, you know, are you out in the summer when it's that hot out, and are you out in the winter? And so there are things you can do in both situations to enjoy the outdoors, but it was harder for me to enjoy 100 degrees plus. Whereas here we can go skiing or go sledding in the yard, which we've done a few times now. And that was great fun. And the winters are beautiful also out where we are, when the snow is on the trees, and it's just really lovely. We're outside of Ithaca, probably about 10 miles. And so it's very rural, really tall pine trees. It's just beautiful. So you have to take the good with the bad.
And you don't get, do you get the really bad weather from lake effect snow, or no, because you're not really?
Some parts do. So if you're closer to Syracuse, they get hammered. Yeah, they get hammered. The Finger Lakes, being smaller, do have lake effect influences, but it's not as dramatic
intense
as the Great Lakes.
Right.
Right. But we do see it. And so, but it's very spotty. It really, you can drive 10 miles and they won't have half as much snow as we have out here where we are. So it's just how lucky you are if you like snow or not.
Right, right. Exactly. Okay. Summer months, is it really, it's not that hot?
Well, I'm coming from Austin, so I remembered it before I left, and it's humid, but people here, when it was 85 this summer, they were just really upset about it. And I thought it was just fine.
Right.
I thought it was lovely.
Right. 85 to me is beautiful.
Right. It doesn't even with the humidity, it didn't bother me.
I hear you.
So it's what you get acclimated to. I think people here think 85 is dreadful, but for folks from the South, if they were to come up here, they would think it's just
chilly.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Okay. So does Ithaca have like an LGBTQ or gay neighborhood or gayborhood, so to speak? Does it have gay bars?
The gay bar that existed for decades closed, I think, about 10 years ago. It was called the Common Ground. And probably many of the listeners and viewers, if they've ever been to Ithaca, know it well. They've been there. It was a rural gay bar, very different than any of the gay bars I've ever been to. Very community-centric. They were really the place where picnics got planned and events, people came together for really the social aspect of it. It was different. It just felt different from the bars in the big cities. That, of course, has closed. And I think as a function of technology, the world we live in today is a little different. Also, though, I will say that Ithaca is a very accepting and liberal and progressive. So we've really sort of woven into the fabric of the town and the community. And it's almost, you feel very comfortable. You don't feel that weirdness when you have to say, this is my husband, when you're out in public. You just say it and people don't bat an eye.
That's
they
good.
Just, it's just very normal. And even on the outskirts, where it does get a little bit more conservative, as soon as you get
out of the
10
city.
Miles outside of Ithaca, it gets more conservative. But it's been really friendly. Everybody has been very welcoming. It's been really nice. But as far as the gay and lesbian community goes, I probably am not as keyed in yet as maybe we will be eventually. I know there's events. I know there's things organized on Facebook that I see. Beyond Ithaca, though, I really want people to understand that there's a lot of small towns, very lovely New England-looking places, also small towns that have really changed tremendously over these decades. There's a small city outside of Ithaca called Corning, which you may have heard of.
I have.
It's where they made Corning Glass, and they have the Corning Museum of Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a feminist bookstore downtown on their main street.
Wow.
And they have, it's just lovely. And it's just very welcoming. And it's been a really good experience. So I think it would be nice to have a gay bar or some sort of centric building.
I was just going to ask you that.
Where people could go. But it's also nice just being a part of everything.
No, I totally understand that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, we're both married, right? So we're not really looking for anything, but we want a community place where we can gather amongst ourselves and feel very, very safe. Because I'll tell you the truth, I mean, this goes for single people too. Like, who wants to, if I was single and I was actually looking for somebody, I would want to be comfortable in my own environment. I wouldn't want to go into a mixed bar. How do I know that person is gay? But that's what I feel like we all need, that community building. It's unfortunate that some of the technology apps have replaced bars, gay bars.
Right. Well, there's a practicality to it also, isn't there? Like when you're in a gay bar and a lesbian bar, you don't have to be worried about if you want to approach someone if you're single or if you're married or
right.
whatever your situation is.
Right.
If you want to approach someone, you don't want to be guessing.
Right. Are they straight or hetero?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that part of it too. And maybe the apps have their place, but they also may be doing a little bit of harm, and that it pushes us maybe to an invisible cyberspace and we're not out being seen as much.
Meeting one another. And I think
out in the real world. And I think there's some impact to that.
You're right. Because I believe we need community. We need community. And as we age and get older, it becomes even more important.
Yes.
Because we want to be friends with, I'm not saying 100 people, but a few good, having a few good friends that if we need something, if we need a surgery or something, that somebody could take us if we can't drive, and because we don't have family really.
Right. We figure it out that those relationships, we've reconnected with friends that we had 30 years ago, and it's wonderful. And it's also just nice to sit around with other people our age and talk about the medications for and their side effects. That,
like, it all, we all wind up talking about that. Seriously. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I take this and that. Oh, and that affects that.
What is this blood thinner do? Yeah. Oh, I don't like it.
Oh, I can't take it because I
bruise like summer fruit.
Right. I can't take it because I take a baby aspirin every day. So I get it. I get it. But we don't, as we age, if it comes down to going into a nursing home, I'm not going into a nursing home that's homophobic or I have to go back into the closet. Right. Because of who I am. I want to be, I am who I am. And that's a song, but I want to stay who I am.
Yeah. But it is a lifelong struggle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like we try to find those safety places, those safe zones, but it's even here, the neighbor across the street has, you know, a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And then down the street, you see another one, but in the town,
do you have rainbow flags?
We have rainbow flags out on the front porches, and there's quite a few of them actually. When we were driving around, I would see, and this is a town of like 2,000 or 3,000 people, so it's a small rural town.
Yeah.
And to see that many supportive flags out on their front porches, and one is right next to the school, I was like, oh, geez.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's a mix. You have to have a little bit of bravery too, I guess. Yeah.
Is there like a central part of Ithaca, like a downtown sort of where people could walk? Is there like restaurants and?
Oh yeah, there's a lovely area. It's called the Commons. It's a little bit controversial because they did what a lot of cities did in the 70s, which was removed a main street and made it an open mall sort of park. So it's walkable, but it's debatable whether it really brought people to downtown or not, or if it actually hurt. But it's, yeah, there's, but Ithaca, I mean, I have to be very honest, is also struggling with some of the things that we see in a failing capitalist society. That's probably not the right way to say that. There's a homeless issue here, but there's homelessness everywhere. And everybody's struggling with it. There was a lot of it in Austin. I felt like maybe in the South because the climate was a little bit more temperate, that people would, it was a little easier in that respect. And it's harder up here.
Yeah, because it's so cold in the winter.
Yeah, but the homeless population has grown in the last 30 years without question.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of the same challenges that other cities are having. That said, there's still, if you were to walk down on the commons of Ithaca, it feels a little bit a microcosm of maybe San Francisco a long time ago. There's just such a huge variety of folks doing all sorts of different things, some that might seem odd or eccentric, and then it's just you get...
That's a cool.
It is.
It's a cool place.
It is.
I like that kind of odd, centric.
In Austin, they would say, "Keep Austin weird."
Right.
They thought they were
that
weird.
That was their
motto. And I was
like,
"It's not weird.
That weird
here.
It's not weird. It's,
if you've walked or lived on the commons in Ithaca, this is nothing. But it's fun. It gives the whole city a flavor. People really care about the community too, and voices get loud." And people are very involved. They always have been. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about Ithaca, is just how much people care about their quality of life and their neighbors. There's just a sense of that.
I believe I contacted the gay, I think they have a gay chamber of commerce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I did make contact there as well. So that's pretty progressive to have a gay chamber of commerce in a rural city like that.
Yeah, I mean, credit to higher education and having those resources has been a blessing. It's an interesting relationship. It's sort of the relationship between the city of Ithaca and Cornell University is always sort of a give and take. Lately, the controversy is that Cornell isn't paying their fair share of taxes to the city, but what they bring to the city is priceless in many ways.
Okay, so is it easy, Kurt, to meet others in the LGBTQ community and make friends in Ithaca, or is it a little bit difficult?
I think, boy, that answer is probably a big, it depends. For us, it hasn't been difficult. We are avid, obsessive volleyball players, and so we've sort of tried to make friends through that venue, and we've met some gay and lesbian people. I think I want to lean on the side that it is a little difficult, because what kind of hinting back to what we talked about earlier, which is when you become integrated into the fabric, which is a good thing, it's also more difficult to sort of find people. But I think you can if you really want to, using Facebook or whatever social
media.
Yeah, media that you want, you can find folks. I do think it's a little bit difficult, and it can feel a little artificial to go about things that way. Whereas if you have a bar or a restaurant or something of that nature, just naturally a coffee shop brings people together in a more natural way. So I think it's a difficult thing to do regardless. I don't know if Ithaca would be that much different than any other city or place with regard to that.
Maybe because it's smaller population.
Yeah. But also it's such a college town, and it's so youth centric.
Yeah.
That can be a little tricky for older gay and lesbian transgender people. I call him my gay dad, and he was sort of the person I looked to when I was young, and he lives in Cambridge, England now, and is struggling with health issues. And he left Ithaca, retired from Cornell, I think, when he was in his 60s. And he spoke of that, and his friends would speak to that, that there was, that's everywhere though, right? This mm-hmm. youth-centric, I don't know what age, you slowly become more and more visible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
That's not entirely bad either.
Right.
Sometimes I like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the drama, and I don't have the energy for all of
right.
The 20s and 30s. But yeah, I think it does pose its challenges. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Tell us a little bit about the local economy. What do you think? What can you buy a house for in Ithaca? Two bedroom, maybe two bath house. What do rentals usually go for? What's the cost of utilities? And are groceries less or more than the average, if you know that?
And I do.
Yeah. Give us an example.
So housing, well, let's back up, go to the economy real quick. It's this economy in Ithaca, Tompkins County, is focused around higher education mm-hmm. primarily.
Yeah.
And then I would say there are a few manufacturing, smaller jobs, then government, healthcare. We have two somewhat significant healthcare hospital districts that sort of fight it out with each other. They employ a lot of folks, and they're growing. So the healthcare industry is pretty good. Higher ed is good. Manufacturing is not that great, obviously. That's been a thing of the past for a while. There's a lot of cottage industry, wineries, breweries, little restaurants, which we love. So there's a lot of that. People just kind of doing things on their own. I'm not sure how successful that is as far as making a affordable living at it, mm-hmm. but there is quite a bit of it up here, and it's nice. I love to see it. Housing is pretty expensive. I would say this is another centric Ithaca thing. As soon as you move away from Ithaca, it becomes more and more affordable. So if you're willing to live 10 to 20 miles away from Ithaca, then you can find a fairly good house. I would say 3 2-bedrooms in Ithaca are probably around the 300,000 mark for something pretty good, mm-hmm. not needing a lot of work. If you go out, you can find things for 250. If you go out a little further and you're willing to make some trade-offs, you can find things for low twos.
Wow.
If you go to Cortland, which is a city about 20 miles outside, which is where University of SUNY Cortland is, housing is even less expensive, but then property taxes are more. So I was just looking at this thing on Threads about states with no income tax, and would you want to live in any of them? Most of them are red states, except for Washington.
Yep, I've been to one. I've lived in one, Florida.
Yeah.
I've lived in Florida.
So what do you gain? What do you lose? We went from no state tax to New York, which has pretty significant state tax. Mm-hmm. Although ours was a wash between a return and what we had to owe. So it wasn't a big deal. But property taxes here are a little lower. Insurance is a little lower. You don't pay $30 to ride on a highway for 10 miles like mm-hmm. you do in Texas. I swear to God, you go and, yeah, the tolls in Austin are insane. And here you can go from one side of the state to the other. So the schools here are better. So, yeah, you pay more in taxes, but your kids aren't going to school in a double wide.
Right.
It wasn't ever intended to be a long-term building. There's, I think the universities here are slightly better, though that's arguable. But there tends to be more community college. It's smaller, so you get that more one-to-one connection with your professors and teachers and things like that. So I think it's all a trade-off. Overall, for us, it's been a wash. The roads are a little better in Texas because they don't have winters. So housing is probably a little cheaper mm-hmm. overall than especially Austin has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty affordable.
Yeah. Rent is awful. Rent is probably more expensive in Ithaca than in Austin.
Wow.
So you're going to pay easy $1,500 a month for a one-bedroom apartment in and around the Ithaca area. Easy. That would actually be not a bad price. And I know this because we're trying to rescue a friend from Texas who wants to come up here with us. And I've been actively looking for apartments. And so apartments are not affordable. We're scrounging to find a place.
I like that you're rescuing somebody.
We're trying. And anybody else, if you need to feel like you need to be rescued from Texas, reach out. We will try to connect you. But yeah, overall, you just decide what's important for you. Mm-hmm. What do you want your government to be? What do you want your community to be? What do you value? I couldn't take it anymore. I literally just couldn't stand it. Although I'm sure there's people just like me that can't stand it, but have to because that's their job and their family is there. Mm-hmm. And it makes it sound very easy. I retired. But if you have a family and you have a job,
oh, yeah,
you can't just pick up and leave.
Right.
You can't. But
that was my situation in New York City for many years. So I lived in New York City. I lived in Brooklyn. Yeah. I worked down on Wall Street all my life. It got to a point where I just didn't want the stress and the rat race. And I said, and even looking for another job was difficult because then you're kind of used to making a wage and then what am I going to do? And then you just have to make a decision.
Yep.
Is it going to be a health issue down the road if you stay under that stress? Or can you move somewhere that's less expensive and survive? So that's what we did.
Yeah, you just have to decide what in time. Where do you want to spend your time? Time is the most valuable.
Yeah.
It's the most valuable commodity that we have.
Right.
And so it's so precious, and you don't really feel it entirely as until you get older.
Then it goes so fast.
And it goes so fast. And I will say that time has sped up since we've been here. It's insane. It's like Groundhog Day. It's just like,
yeah,
it just goes so quickly. It's been almost a year. I think it's been 10 months since we've moved back. Well, for me. Yeah, and it's just gone by so quickly.
Yeah, same with us. I mean, first we moved out of New York area to Florida, and that was 4 years we stayed in Florida. And then we sold there and came to Phoenix, and it's already almost 6 years. So it's like, it's nuts.
It's like, it is. It is.
So how about utilities?
Utility cost. Utilities are about
gas, electric.
I want to say about the same. We have electric, and after we're done today here with you, I have to go stack wood because that's how we also heat our house.
Oh, okay.
From wood. So we had to buy, I think we bought 10 or 11 cords of wood, which is 4x8, and that cost $1,000.
Wow.
And so if we wanted to heat our house with just wood, we could. It would have been $1,000 for the whole winter, which is not typically 6 months.
Too bad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
We're like the opposite with the summer. We're like 6 months of summer.
Yes. And then in the summer, it goes down to nothing.
Yeah.
Like
the same.
$100, less than $100 for utilities.
Same thing here.
Yeah. Water, I don't think is too much, although we have a well, which I'm adjusting to. Lots of things to adjust to when you move out to Green Acres.
That's the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. How about the arts and culture scene? Is there any arts and culture to speak of?
It's so great. It's so wonderful. We probably don't get the big names, the big concerts that you see in the big metropolitan areas. I am very okay with that. So that's a personal thing. I love going to lawn concerts, whether it's classical music or jazz, or I love that kind of stuff. And that is everywhere. Every little town
in the summer.
Something in the summer has something going on. And then there's Cornell, there's Ithaca College, there's SUNY Cortland. They all have their own arts. What do I want to say?
Center.
Yeah, they have arts centers, but they do performing arts.
Okay.
Cornell does, and Ithaca, of course, is renowned for that. So you can see some really great, great things there. But then there's museums. There's museums in Corning. There's the Harriet Tubman Museum in Auburn. There's lots of museums that throw back to the 1800s in a little town nearby called Moravia, where they have these big, beautiful, old three-story brick mansions that you can buy for a bargain.
Wow.
I mean, if you're wanting to retire, if you want to get from California and you want to go somewhere and live large, that's what a couple has just done. A gay couple just bought a big, beautiful mansion in Moravia, New York, and it's absolutely stunning. And
what do you
do
with all that space?
Well, one of these guys was a sculptor. So he has his sculptures all over, and they throw parties, and this is crazy. Moravia is like 1,000 people, but you would have thought you were in a very upscale metropolitan affluent, just a variety of people. It was like Schitt's Creek, but on steroids.
Upscale.
Yes. It was just so lovely. You meet the mayor, and then you meet the person who owns the liquor store, who's the mayor's wife. And it's that kind of a thing. And they are, they're not harboring any prejudice against gay people. And it's, it really feels nice. What did you ask me though? I got way off track, didn't I?
Oh, we were on arts and culture.
Yeah. So, I want to put a plug in for this place because they welcomed me home in the way that I could never have imagined, which is the Homer, and just outside of Cortland, New York, there's a little town called Homer. And when I was moving home and we'd made the decision, we had the house on the market and we were going, I had found out that Amy Ray from the Indigo Girls was playing in Homer, New York at this old church that they had renovated into a performing arts center. And I was like, that can't be. That has to be a misprint. There's no way. But sure enough, Amy Ray and her band played in Homer. On the weekend, we drove into town. And I bought 15 tickets and took all my friends and family there, sat in the first and second row. And she played my request. And it was just amazing. So that's very tailored to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Syracuse is not far. Rochester is not far. New York City is not far. It's a 6-hour drive. So if you get that itch and you really want to go visit Broadway, you can.
Awesome.
Thanks for letting me tell that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be. So how about, are you a foodie? Do you like to go to restaurants?
So that's another great question, which I think is really dependent on things you decide when you retire, if you're going to save money and eat at home or if you've got the budget to go out and eat. I would describe Ithaca as having a handful of really great restaurants, but it's not overflowing with them. There's the Moosewood restaurant, which is world renowned for their vegan and vegetarian options. That place is packed all the time. Excellent food, excellent service, right downtown. You can sit outside. It's really lovely. There's places down on the Commons, which I referred to earlier, sort of the main street, mm-hmm. that have good restaurants. But then what I think people love, which I love, as I referred to earlier, there's lots of little smaller restaurants that do a great job that are outside in Trumansburg, in Groton, in Lansing. Lansing has the Salt Point restaurant, which has a big outside eating area, wonderful pizza, very welcoming, has the gay pride flag on their door. You see that a lot. The food is good. Lots of wineries. Oh, Ithaca Beer. You got to try Ithaca Beer, people. There's Ithaca Beer, there's Ithaca Root Beer. And if you come to Ithaca, which you absolutely should do, you can go to Ithaca Beer, sit outside, wonderful, wonderful food, smaller dishes, delicious. But I wouldn't say it's like a mecca. I wouldn't say that.
It's just a smaller scale for a smaller town. So
yeah.
And I'm sure since it's a school town, you're going to have your fast food places and your pubs and bars. And
yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So is there any public transportation?
There is.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Oh yeah. No, it's called the TCAT, Tompkins County Area Transit. I hope I got that right. So Ithaca is located within Tompkins County. So Ithaca's 30,000 people. The town is probably 50, kind of surrounds the city. Tompkins County is probably 100,000 thereabouts. And there's a bus system that goes around the whole county. So it not only serves Ithaca, but it serves all of the towns outside. I remember it as a kid going to school. I went to the community college, which was outside of Ithaca, probably about 12 miles or so. And it worked great. It was had a lot of scheduled pickups. I loved that it went out into the local communities. So some of these towns are kind of far away, relative. You could fit all of Tompkins County in the city of Austin. So everything is relative.
Yep.
But I remember that one year they wanted to have, they were trying to publicize their services, so they had classical music concerts on the buses. So you would get on the bus and there would be three or four playing the cello, and we would just ride around. And
that's funny.
We were like, what's going on? Yeah, so it's good. There's no subway. There's no.
What's the closest airport? Is it Syracuse?
No, it's Ithaca. So Ithaca has its own international airport. And it's just so beautiful. It's not very big.
Wow.
But it's absolutely.
It goes international?
Well.
Not really. It's called that. It's just like Watertown. Watertown International Airport.
I guess so. Well, I think for a while they were going maybe into Canada.
Okay.
But maybe I don't think that. I think COVID really stopped things. So they fly to New York, New Jersey. They were flying to Detroit. There's questions if that'll come back. And one other place. But Delta flies in, American, United. And sometimes it's not that much more expensive, but primarily people use Syracuse. Mm-hmm. But then there's Elmira, which isn't that far away. But the Ithaca Airport is so lovely. And it's small, so you just get in and out through security
That's fast. Yeah.
20 minutes.
That's great.
So oftentimes if we think it's $50 difference, we'll just stay in Ithaca because it's easier. And it's brand new. It's a brand new airport.
Cool.
It's lovely.
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about crime. Is there any crime? I mean, with the homeless population?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And it's a little unsettling. I was trying to find some statistics. I don't think it's unusually high. I think it's probably on average lower than most places. But I think for Ithaca, and from what I remember, it's higher than what I remember. Yeah.
That's every place, but I think.
Yeah, I think it's every place.
I think because I'm sure there's growth since the time you left and the time you came back. So I'm sure crime has increased as well. So.
Yeah.
But like petty crime or violent crime? Do you know?
I don't think there's a whole lot of violent crime. I think it's, I would have to look it up. It's probably not a great question for me to answer because I'm not in the city. Mm-hmm. I do follow on Facebook a couple of pages that monitor it, and it does seem like it's pretty active. But most of it is just car chases, DWIs, a lot of substance abuse issues, drug related, but not very many like murders or rape or things of that nature.
Right. They're violent.
But it does happen.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about healthcare. Where's the nearest hospital to you? How long does it take you to get there?
So the hospital, there's two competing hospital districts. One is called Cayuga Medical and the other one is called Guthrie. Guthrie, I think, is out of Sayre, Pennsylvania. And Cayuga started here in Ithaca. Guthrie has probably got a bigger name, a bigger footprint in the area. And so there are clinics that are sort of popping up all over. They repurposed the mall, which, like many malls, was dying. And they've repurposed it into a kind of a healthcare center, which was great. I think it's just opening, in fact, this week. Some things are, I only have to compare to what I experienced in New Mexico and what I experienced in Austin. So, and I'll tell your listeners and people watching, I am HIV positive. And so I've had to have a little bit of a different, make a deeper dive when I was moving somewhere to make sure that I could find a doctor that was not just comfortable, but knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And I miss that in Austin, I will say that. I had the best doctor, Gary Wernz, from a Red River Family Practice. And if you're in that area, boy, that is the place to be because they really know everything. And that doctor has been around for decades at the very beginning. And so I had great advice from him, and he could predict things when he would say, you need to be watching for this and be careful of that. And this is what these medicines will do. And I have, I think, a young, friendly doctor here in Ithaca who is eager and very smart, I'm sure. But I miss that
knowledge
from experience and just from all of the other clients that they've had. You benefit from that.
Yeah.
But I will say that because I think it's a smaller healthcare system, and that's kind of my background, I recognize that they're a little bit more nimble. I'm surprised that the electronic health record system up here is better. The communication between the doctors, between the different specialists is better. They use Epic, and they use big time electronic medical systems, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I was expecting more of a Green Acres approach to healthcare, but in that respect, it's been really good. But they don't, and I would say that's something to really invest your time into if you're gay or lesbian, transgender, and if you have a chronic disease, especially HIV, yeah, spend your time looking before you go. Get in the chat rooms, get on social media, talk to friends, talk to family, find out everything you can, because that has been probably my biggest challenge, is getting that set up.
Yeah, that expertise.
There are things gay men need to be paying attention to that not everybody needs to be paying attention to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you might find that in a bigger city. So I'm thinking, do I go to Syracuse? Do I go to Rochester? So that's a trade-off. Part of the reason I'm here in Ithaca is because I was homesick and I love Ithaca. So I will make do or find a way. But not everybody should have to do that.
Right. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Healthcare is very important. How long does it take to see a doctor if you make an appointment? Is it very long?
Depends on the type of doctor. I went to the dermatologist and they were like, well, we don't have anything until June.
Lord.
Like, what are you talking about? But then, yeah, she said, but I can put you on the cancellation list. And then did that. And then they saw me the next day.
Oh.
But so that experience wasn't good. Other than that, it's pretty typical. I would say a week to 2 weeks, maybe three. Pretty typical.
That's what it is here.
And pretty good. Yeah. Not bad.
Okay. All right. And how close is the hospital? Is it?
Well, the hospital is on the other side of the lake. So there's this lake that divides everything up. And so if you're on the wrong side of the lake,
you have to go around it.
You have to go around it. But, you know, it's probably a 30 minute drive to that Ithaca hospital, but to the Cortland Hospital, which is owned by the other healthcare system, it's probably 20 to 25 minutes. So,
okay.
It's not bad.
I think my rule of thumb is 45 minutes around there. That would be my...
Yeah. Yeah, and that definitely is
within. Yes. Okay. Do you wish you had something in Ithaca that you had elsewhere, such as in Austin or Las Cruces?
I wish Jose would answer that, because I so appreciate how much he has supported me in my return to home. But I think when you live in a bigger metropolitan area, especially one that's growing like Austin, you have more choices. When we bought a house there, it was a new build. And so it was very nice.
right.
and new, and it had all these features.
Right.
And when you move to the Northeast, yeah, no,
it's
you don't.
It's older. yeah.
It creaks.
Yeah.
But you tell yourself, well, that's charming, and maybe true to some extent. I think the trade-offs have been worth it. Probably the employment market isn't as rich here. So the pay also, we should have talked about that maybe, that Jose has had a little bit more of a struggle looking for something that pays like what they would pay in Austin.
Austin, yeah.
That has been a challenge as well. So that part of the economy, I'm hoping it will pick up. I know Syracuse just got a big grant to build microchips, and they're getting like billions of dollars. So we expect Syracuse to take off, and some of the surrounding areas are seeing some impact. But that part is a little bit of a struggle. I don't know exactly how people afford to live well unless you work at Cornell or you're a professor. It's tough.
Yeah. It's that's what my husband says in upstate New York. He comes from Watertown. And he said, well, you're either a doctor or you're an educator. So.
Yeah. Or you're working two or three jobs to try to put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. So are there any cons living there besides the hard to get job or?
I think maybe this is a struggle everywhere, but it's one that just sticks at me, which is seeing the Trump flags and the hateful flags and things like that out in the rural areas is alarming. It's threatening. It's scary. I try to balance it with the other good people, but I don't remember ever seeing, but I mean, I guess maybe gay and lesbian people and transgender people weren't as
out.
Yeah. And so they're pushing back on us.
Yeah.
And that's a little unnerving to be out in a rural area. But I love being next to a creek or in the woods or smelling the fresh air and
right.
mowing the lawn and all of those things, letting the dogs go out and run in the yard.
You have to weigh your priorities.
You do. Yeah. And if you're going to let people bully you into not being where you want to be.
Yeah, that's not a good thing
so
either.
That's a challenge, but that's everywhere.
Yeah. And that's like, you just have to vote.
Yep.
That's what you have to do. Yes. It's very important finding community and get rid of that hate. But okay. So in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Ithaca, Green Acres?
Well, apart from Ithaca, which is very specific for me because of
where you grew up.
Because this is where I grew up. So if you're looking to recapture that feeling of nostalgia, which I think a lot of folks are, a sense of home, you just have to make a list of things, what you spend some time really examining what's important for you and where those feelings come from and what you want to do. And all the other things we've talked about, healthcare and the economy, how
cost
affordable is it,
mm-hmm.
cost of living, all of those things, you really have to spend time deciding if you can be happy there 75% of the time, and then can you escape and go somewhere
25%?
Yeah. Or take some trips or do what you need to do. You just have to figure out, we talked before and I wanted to return home, but I don't know if that was a strong feeling for you. It's not for everybody.
Right.
So people have no interest in going back.
As much as I love New York City, I think it
and the bagels.
And the bagels. I miss the bagels. I miss all of the stuff, the delis and
yeah.
Broadway. There's nothing like it. And
yeah, there
there's nothing that could compare. Do I miss it? Yes. Would I move back there? Probably not. Because first of all, the affordability is not just something that I could do.
Right.
So And besides that, I could always visit. So
yes. Yep.
Yep. Yep. We move on.
We do in every way, whether we make a circle or a line. Yep. We figure it out.
Any final wise words to our audience before we wrap up?
No, just do your research and know yourself.
Do your due diligence. Yep. Before you move to Green Acres or anywhere else for that.
Yeah.
For that matter.
And Mark, thank you. Thank you for doing this because it's so important for all of us, not only to get that community, but to, it's a service that I didn't realize, so I'm taking up time, but I wanted to say thank you because I went on the page and I saw how many followers there were. I'm so glad I found you. I'm seeing people that have retired in Mexico, and I'm very interested in that now because Jose would love to retire in Mexico, but I'm having the same worries that I'm seeing in the comments. And so what you're doing is so great. It's just wonderful that we can talk this way with each other and explore the world and find a safe place to feel at home.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you.
I do it for the community. I love doing it. So it's just my way, my little piece to give back what everyone has given me.
And it's really great.
And yeah, so it's...
Thank you.
And I've met so many wonderful people such as yourself. And I've also met some people in person after a while, meeting them. In fact, like my moderator, who's in Where Do Gays Retire? He's been my moderator for 4 or more years. Never met him in person. This year, just a couple months ago, we met.
Oh, that's great.
In Palm Springs. So it was really cool.
Yeah. That is great.
Yeah.
Well, so. I hope we can meet someday in person and go have coffee. That would be wonderful. And a bagel.
I hope so too. Yes. A bagel with a schmear.
Yes.
You can't forget that schmear from New York. All right, Kurt. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. And we will talk soon. Okay?
Very good.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.